We're in our ABCs book, and last week we talked a little bit about authority. Just wanted to real quick follow up with that, give that sheet out on authority. And before I pass out any other sheets, we'll just real quickly give that reason why again. We're talking about order, the order of things. And in life, it is required that you do things decently and in order, not just in the church. That should happen here too. Absolutely should happen. And we're all responsible to keep things on track. Amen. And if you see things heading in that wrong direction, you got to speak up. You got to say something. Because we're in this thing together. Amen. For the Lord, this isn't about you and I. It's not about how big our church gets. It's not about what we do. It's about God, right? And so we want to be led by the Spirit of God. And we want this place to be a place that people can come in and hear from God. Amen. And so that's what we're here for. For nothing else besides what God has for us to do as saints in this location called McGregor Baptist Church. Amen. And so beyond that, though, our families. If our families are not ordered by the word of the Lord, ordered by the Holy Spirit of God, then they're broke. Amen. And if they're broke, they won't work.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. So in the church house, if we're not ordered by God, it's broke and it won't work. Amen. And our families, they ain't ordered by God. If we get the roles out of order, right? If we get our instruction out of order, if we get what we live by out of order, if we get our interests above God's interests, if we worship something in the home, even a person or a thing or an interest, or a job, if we start worshiping something in our homes, and God takes a second seat to that, or worse, fourth, fifth, eighth, tenth seat to that, he no longer has the preeminence, your home will not work. I don't care how able you are. I don't care how good your job is. I don't care how fertile you are as a female. Amen?
Amen.
Some people look at these things and say, well, because I can pop out kids like, you know, like the watermelon seeds, then I must be right with God. No. Whether you can or can't isn't about you being right with God. He reigns on the just and the unjust. Listen, the lost world has no problem doing that. The lost world can hold a job. The lost world can have a nice house. So just because you have children, just because you have a nice house, just because you have nice income, just because you're very able doesn't mean you're right with God.
Amen.
Does that make sense? And so we want to be careful that we don't look at these things and say, because these things are here, then I have a lot of leeway to do whatever I want to do. No, you don't. Amen. And at some point, that'll catch up with you if you're a Christian. Amen. Because God's going to get your attention. And sometimes he has to mess with things like that to get our attention. I included all of us. That's just what happens. Yes.
One thing I've been talking about with the kids is that keep things, and I keep going over and over different things about the Bible, but keep things because God tells him, give to St. Jude's or whoever.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's, I said, it's not about just good works. I said, it's great.
You know?
But that's another thing.
That's how a lot of people operate, right?
I come across that a lot.
Hey, I tithe. Hey, I give to good you know, good causes. I do this. I do that. Hey, I'm better than my neighbor. My neighbor is this, and I'm way better than that. And we justify our position based on what we do. And Patricia's exactly right. It's not about our works. It's, are we yielded to God and are we ordered by him? Listen, some things I do, I know people don't understand. I get it. I'm just trying to follow the Lord. I'm trying to mind the Lord in all things. Because I understand that when I do that, man, the power of God that is able to flow through is amazing. And I'm kind of addicted to it, to be honest with you. And I don't ever want to see that go away. Amen. It's so good to serve the Lord. It's so good to, I mean, what a beautiful position for us to be in, that we can be counted as able servants of the Lord. I don't know if everybody here has ever led a soul to Jesus. Man, that is better than Amish peanut butter. Amen. If you've ever had Amish peanut butter, that is good stuff. Amen. But if you've never led a soul to Jesus and you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for any length of time at all, why not? That's like, Man, that's amazing, amazing, amazing. The things that we get to do in the ministry is amazing. It's mind-boggling. And it's not because we are able, it's because he is. But he is not going to use just anybody, even if we're Christians. Amen? And so if you want to be used by God, then you're going to have to be ordered by him. And that was the whole point of that. Every area of our life, order it, needs to be ordered by the Lord. Does that make sense? You were going to say something? Amen. We're on 362. I made you a sheet.
Just that filter of, you know, my operating in faith and obedience to the word of God for whatever I'm doing. You know, whether it be, you know,
whatever it is.
Bushcraft, which is what I was doing.
Number one. 362. 362. Yes, good, good. Hi. See, you're back. Yeah, amen. You're second home. That's awesome. Right, everything that you do.
I brought my better half with me, though.
You don't?
No, you do. I did. He's coming in.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's bringing all the things.
Great.
He's my pack.
He does bring a lot.
That's what he said. Yeah.
362 and 363?
I didn't say.
Well, we won't call him a pack, you know.
I didn't say he. He identifies him as a pack.
Thank you.
Amen. Awesome, awesome. All right, well, so if all you get from today's lesson is this, is everything has to be ordered right. By the way, that's one of the struggles. As parents, we raise kids in a church, we disciple, we raise up people, and there's always going to be a variation to things. And God allows for that. God is very, very much into variety. Look at creation. You'll see a tremendous amount of variety. But even with that variety, we all must be ordered by the Lord. And if all you do is lie to yourself so that you feel justified in doing something, you've done nothing more than help yourself feel good about your life being in disarray. I'm telling you, it's going to catch up to you. It's going to catch up. Does that make sense? And so I hope to at least get you to see that. That's why when we look at this section on women, some may say, well, I don't like that. Well, I'll be the first to admit, there's a lot of things about life I don't like. But I've had to realize life isn't about what I like or don't like. It's not about what I get to do or don't get to do. It's about learning from God what he has already declared works. That's it. By the way, people that reject salvation, they may say, I don't like Christians. I didn't like Christians before I was saved either. Some Christians aren't all that nice. Some Christians are hypocritical. Some Christians are a lot of things. But if I choose not to get saved because I don't like Christians, what have I done? I've damned myself to hell. So again, it's not about what I like or dislike. It's about me making sure that I am right with God in everything that God has brought my attention to. First is going to be salvation. And then second is every other thing in life. Amen? Sound good? Okay. So when we look at this section, this is all about, for you as ladies and us as men, to understand that a woman has a role. And this will be where she will thrive. Men have a role. And if they'll follow God's leading in it, they can thrive. God has not called men to be women. And God has not called women to be men.
Amen.
Amen? And it's a disservice in our society when that becomes acceptable or even a pressure to accept, because that means that that person can't thrive because they're out of order with how God made them. Does that make sense? And that's not hate speech. That's not being insensitive. No, it's loving them. Speaking the truth, amen, in love. All right, so we've already covered on our sheet. We're going to try to do a little running here. And so I'll have some of you look up some scriptures. We'll read and we'll just blow through here, amen. We've already looked at B at the top there, 362, the principle of leadership and submission. We talked about submission, how it's falling under the mission of another, and that rule and how it's set up. We looked at why that is. We'll review that again as we go through here. But we've already filled in the blanks for B1 and B2. And we are now on B3 in the churches. Women are not to
teach.
Actually, that would be usurp. Amen. Let's go ahead and read that. 1 Timothy 2:12. Who wants to grab that verse? 1 Timothy 2:12. They have that. John Haley.
But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence.
Amen. Go ahead and read through verse 14.
Okay. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
Amen. And so it gives a little reason there. And I think God did that, of course, because that's a rough one. And we're going to look at that a little bit as we go down through the study. That's a really good place to start. So the fill in the blank there, women are not to usurp authority over men. And the reason given in this text goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We've already talked about this. And what took place there, the woman being deceived, and then of course, Adam, who wasn't deceived, went along, and we could have that debate as well, amen. And I choose to believe it's for his love for her, and on there's a whole lot of ramifications potentially for all that. And we have to be really careful about working through that mentally in our own minds and hearts and doing things we shouldn't do just because of the sake of another, even our own spouse. Nonetheless, the deception part is what God is keying in on here, that the woman, at least with Eve, she was prone to deception. The devil exploited that. And then at this place, and from that place really and on, God created a structure such that she would be helped not to be deceived. So we can either fight against that and say, well, I am not prone to be deceived. Well, just that statement alone says, yes, you are. Does that make sense? The theme of this year in my own life and in counseling with others is, it's good to know your strengths. It's better to know your weaknesses. Make sense? So if God says women have a weakness in this area, you can do one of two things with that info. You can believe God, or you can argue with God. Amen? Every salesman knows he would rather talk to a woman than a man, unless the man's in skinny jeans. That's a joke, but kind of not. Anyway, because he's already a little feminine. Anyway, I wouldn't say anything out of order there. I could say some other things, too, about the feminization of men today, amen. Anyway, nonetheless, amen. They don't need hormone treatments. They're already doing it just with their choices. Anyway, the point is that every salesman knows it's easier to talk a woman into a decision, typically, into a purchase, than it is to talk a man into a purchase. Now, I'm not saying that's every woman. I'm not saying that every man. I'm saying generally speaking. So the Bible talks about the easierness, I guess, if that's a word, of a woman to be deceived than a man. It's not that a man can't be deceived. He can be. But a woman is more prone to that. Amen? And we say it this way. She's more prone to be emotional, make decisions with emotions. Sometimes true, not always true. But I think that kind of leads into the deceptive side. Amen? Any thoughts on that? Amen. Let's keep moving with that thought then. This would be the reason given for the order and why she's not to usurp authority, because the one in authority would lead. And we don't want her leading men in that with that mindset. Amen? Now, women all the time accuse men of being insensitive. The reason men oftentimes are insensitive is that we're more calculated, and we can separate some things in our we compartmentalize better in our mind. We can have a really, really hurtful scenario going on, and we can pull ourselves out of that and make a decision without that emotion vying on us, right? And so that, and we may seem insensitive, ladies, but you don't want to know. Ladies, be careful that you're not trying to make your husband or a guy you know, make them more like you, right? We don't need men to be more like women, and we don't need women to be more like men. We need to understand the strengths that both bring and the weaknesses and how the woman and the man complement each other in these areas to be a help. Does that make sense? All right. Fun. Look at C. So, actually, above that it says, this is the guiding principle governing the role of women in the church. C, restrictions placed upon women in Baptist churches. The New Testament places the following restrictions on women insofar as church life and witness is concerned. Women may not serve as pastors. And so we read that already. Brother John read there, I suffer not a woman to teach, right? And so that'd be that fill in the blank, to teach. And so if a woman is not able to teach or usurp authority over a man, then she can't be a pastor. Amen. Now, I will say recently I came into contact with a pastor who believes there are certain scenarios that teaching shouldn't take place even in a general sense. And that needs to be left up to certain ones and all that. And by the way, Catholic Church is big on this, to where they say that only their sanctioned people should be teaching, and that you should get no teaching anywhere else. The reality is that we do get teaching elsewhere, and that we do surround ourselves with teachers, people that are apt to teach. And it's not just one person's responsibility, and it's not just my responsibility, but there is a principle given in reference to who you will receive teaching from. Amen? By the way, with the modern movement of social media and all that, there's a lot of teaching going on from a lot of platforms that are not sanctioned by God. Amen? We want to be very careful with those. Our children that are on social media are being taught. Our children in different scenarios are being taught. And we want to be very careful. TV teaches. Amen? Computers teach. I mean, on and on and on. We want to be very careful with those teachings, amen, that are there. But understand that God has given order in this in reference to teaching for a reason. So I suffer not a woman to teach in the context, by the way, of a local church environment. Not a total context of everything. Women have great opportunity and ability and understanding in many things. But in the subject, primarily as being dealt with here, the subject of the church, the woman is not to teach or usurp authority. It says pastors are, according to Ephesians 4, he says teachers. Now, I believe in Ephesians 4:11, it actually gives three offices there. It actually gives office general. It gives evangelists, pastors, then it says and teachers. I think that the local church has a lot of teachers that aren't necessarily pastors. There is a delineation there. Though the pastor has to be apt to teach, according to 1 Timothy. Amen? And then that's what 1 Timothy 3:2 says. So pastors are to be or must be apt to teach. Apt to teach. Now, teaching is not easy. Amen. Matter of fact, in the Greek, the same root word for teach is also the word for learn. Teaching and learning go hand in hand. In college, you get more of a professor mentality, to where you can have a really large class, upwards 100, 300 people. And all that the professor does is he professes what he knows. He takes the knowledge or what he's come to believe, and he professes that. He gets it out there, and then it's on the individual to learn it. Okay? A teacher is different than a professor. A teacher, like we see in younger ages, teacher takes the time and leads the student to where they will learn. They actually work through that process. And with parents with young children, it's really seen, right? They don't know how to do anything. Amen. And so, I mean, they're learning how to walk. They're learning how to make their, put sounds together and all these different things to talk. They're learning how to feed themselves. They're learning how to do everything. And so the mom actually doesn't just stand back and say, this is how you do it. and just, you know, verbally profess to them how to eat, how to talk. No, they take an interest in them and help them along. They come alongside, and that's what a teacher does. A teacher is one who, in a sense, tailor makes a program for that individual to get it, to learn. It's that hands-on approach. That's what a teacher is where you can make things make sense and bring concepts together. So you're not just throwing it out there, take it or leave it, but you're in a sense, you're discipling. And that's what teaching is. Teaching is discipling and making it such that someone can understand. And when someone says, "I don't understand," you don't just say, "Well, that's too bad." So you say something like, "Do you want to know? Yeah. Are you willing to be taught? Yeah. Okay, let's go." Because if they're not willing to be taught, it's very hard to teach. Right? And so they have to be willing to teach, but the teacher has to be willing to teach also. And when that works out, that is wonderful. Amen? And so anyway, that's kind of the difference there between a professor and a teacher. But apt to teach, apt to be able to make things understandable to where a person can actually grow with it. Amen? Now, it says here, it brings out Titus 2. And in Titus 2, let's go ahead and turn over there, please, real quick. Titus 2 is very important for a local church when you're talking about people in general, members in general, and not just the pastor or heads of classes and all that. All of us in a local church environment should strive to be teachers. Matter of fact, in Hebrews it talks about how, when the time has come that you ought to be teachers. In other words, as we mature, we should then strive to teach. So people that have been taught then are to teach, right? It's a stewardship principle. Once we've been given something, now we're responsible for it. And that wasn't just given for us. It's given for us then to help others with. Amen? And so if God has given to you the gift of salvation, now as you learn about that salvation, he says, now help others to learn what that means, right? So we've been given that, and now we teach others. If you're a parent and you found some things that work really well in light of Scripture, Scripture's got to be the one thing that we prove things through. We're never going to teach. I hope, even if something works, we don't teach it unless it's scriptural. Amen? I believe there are some wicked things that work. Amen. If you want to get rid of an individual that's really causing problems in your life, I mean, you can kill them. That works. I got rid of them. But it's not scriptural. That's not how we deal with our problems. But it works. By the way, there's witches and the occult. And by the way, those things can work. I was talking to Steve Fry, he's up there in the Amish area. And the Amish are big into witchcraft. I don't know if you knew that or not. But they do a lot of things in reference to healings and all that with enchantments and potions and all kinds of weird things. Right? And he's firsthand seen. I think it was his grandma or someone actually was big practitioner in this area. And he'll say, "Oh, it works." But he'll say, "You should have nothing to do with it." Does that make sense? We prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So we want to be careful. Just because something works doesn't mean we do it. That's in the area of our marriages, right? It's in the area of witnessing. We don't want to witness in a way that's not scriptural, right? You can study how to be persuasive in speech and learn how to talk people into things and it not be scriptural, and that's not how we witness. Yes, go ahead.
Well, in saying those things work, because I've thought through some of these things before, and just like the murder scenario, did you really remove the problem or open up a whole new set of problems? So, in essence, it really still doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, it did primarily. I mean, if that individual, if you have a problem with that individual, that problem is seemingly gone. There's not going to be any more conversations with them that go down the wrong path.
Now you have a problem with a whole new set of people.
You do. Well, you do. And you yourself have not grown.
Not to mention that it's going to be on your mind.
There's the conscious aspect, absolutely. But we reason through a lot of things, don't we? By the way, in the area of marriages, just to say, a lot of murders take place by in married couples. And they somehow reason and say, I'd be better off if I paid this person to off my spouse. I don't know how often that happens. There's TV programs that run continually they don't run out of material.
Right.
It's constant. It's constantly happening. I mean, there are people that make a living killing people's spouses. I'm just saying, it's just the way it is, amen. So mankind does reason and say murder's a good option. They just do. Now we realize scripturally that's not a good option. And sometimes you'll find in those that it's actually Christians that engage in that. It was that, remember that case in Texas about 20 years ago where this woman reasoned in her mind? Yates. Wasn't that Yates? Something Yates. And she murdered 4 of her children. She was having trouble in her marriage and on and on and on. And somehow she reasoned in her mind, my problem will be solved if I kill all 4 of my children. And did. All 4 of her young children. So this isn't out of the realm of not only possibility, but it's really happening. Amen. And if we don't confine ourselves to the Word of God, we're capable of anything. It's good to know that, Kyle. They believe the ends justify the means, right? As long as the end result is what I'm looking for, how I get there is okay. The opposite is what you're saying. I'm going to follow the Word of God no matter what the result is. Amen. Right? Because I know in the end that will work out, even though at time it may seem like it's not working out.
Like right now, I know in the long run it either will work out or
absolutely.
It's just the right thing to do regardless.
Absolutely.
People say that in the area of like child training, and I've heard people argue with Luke about that, when like downtown street preaching and stuff, would say, well, where are these converts? Where are these? That doesn't matter. There's what we're told to do.
Really, the results are up to God.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're doing what He's commanded and you're doing what you should do, the results aren't up to you. They're up to God.
Amen. And something to be said for a clear conscience.
Amen.
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 So, I mean, your health is better. Your ability to communicate with others is better. Your relationship with God. I mean, we want to have a clear conscience, Paul said, before God and man. Amen. And we can be buffeted. We can be treated wrongly. And we can handle it as long as we have a clear conscience with God. Amen. And that's where we want to be. And so, anyway, good stuff. So, with Titus here, we turned over to Titus 2. Let's go ahead and read, is it just 3 and 4? Let's see. Let's go ahead and read, beginning in 3, 4, and 5. Who wants to read 3, 4, and 5? Titus 2. You got it, Nancy?
The aged woman, likewise, that they be in behavior as become of holiness,
not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed.
It's a powerful passage. I love this text, but it shows how we all are teachers at some point. And especially as we mature as Christians, it is a responsibility, male, female, it is a responsibility on us that we teach. And who better to teach younger women than more mature, older women? Now, Now, I say older. It could be older. It could, some ladies, depending on when they get saved and apply the principle of the Word of God, you might have a younger lady that is more mature, older in maturity, able to teach. This is really talking about maturity level and what you've been taught. Amen? We don't want to discourage. We don't want to lead people in the wrong direction. We want to teach what's been proved to be true by the Word of God, and then that we've gained experience with. Amen? And experience is a great teacher, but we want that experience to be good experience. We want, hey, look, this is what the Word of God says. This is what I've applied. This is the result. This is how it's practically worked out. Those are great opportunities to teach. And that works in the women's scenario as well as the man's scenario. Amen? And so we want that to be prevalent amongst all of us. Amen? And so that's why it says here clearly the restriction only applies to women teaching men. Amen? There's and let me just say, he's kind of more along the line, you don't want the woman ever teaching men. I think what a woman needs to be is under authority. I think women have a lot to offer, and I'm not opposed to being taught by a woman in some areas. They just need to be under, they just need to know their place and be under authority. I know there's certain churches that would never allow a woman to get up and speak or say anything. I'm not opposed to a woman getting up and speaking and saying something. They just need to be under authority, whether it's their husband or the pastor or someone. There just needs to be some oversight there. That's really, I think, what the scripture is saying in this area, that you don't want a woman in the place where they're not under that authority based on what took place back with Adam and Eve. Does that make sense? And so that's kind of how I believe that is actually being stated there. Let's go on, and then we can get some comment potentially. It says, nor to usurp authority over the man. Remember, authority is rule. Authority is that structure that I talked about last week. It's where you fall in place in that structure. And again, this is not to say that the woman is not as important as the man, because other pastors are going to say, absolutely, we are equal in a lot of ways. But in the area of accomplishment of a mission, that's what we're talking about. In a church, we have a mission. We're not just here to be here. It's not a club. It's not just here to pass the time. We have a mission. In a family, in a home, you have a mission. And if you don't, and you don't know what that is, you're missing it. My goal in raising our family was not simply to get through those years. Got to make it. I think that's the goal of a lot of parents. I just got to get these kids out of the home. That's not the goal. The goal is to pour Christ into them. That's the goal, right? That they be born again and that they love the Lord their God with all their heart, all their mind, all their strength. And by the way, the goal in raising children isn't just simply that the family helps me on my mission. That's part of it. But they're only going to be there for a time. They're going to be gone. And a lot of ministries fall apart once the kids are gone because they did so much. Now, what do we do as parents? That's empty nest syndrome. And so we have a purpose in family. Well, we have a purpose in everything. Amen? And so because there's purpose in everything, there's structure to everything. Does that make sense? And that's where the authority, that's where the rule comes in. All right. Real quick, 363. Pastors are to be, he says here, obeyed and submitted to in the exercise of their office. True, absolutely. Matter of fact, it says that if you're not in subjection there and all that, that it would go bad for you. Amen. It's better if that whole process is received. And I believe in more of a servant leadership. I believe that if you choose not to fall in line of certain things, that, I mean, there's a place that it could get to where, hey, things need called out, but everybody's going to have to proceed in this at their own pace and be led in that. But man, it is hard to lead someone that doesn't want to be led. But them not wanting to be led, though, keep them in a framework, ultimately their own rebellion will correct them. It will. And so a lot of what I do oftentimes is I step back and watch and wait for an opportunity. Because if I insert myself too early, then I'll create a wedge there that will disable me from being available once the opportunity arises. So again, just trying to be wise in all that. And those are all things that to be careful of. That's not to let things get out of control. In a home, a kid should never run the home. A wife should never run the home. The man should run the home. But even within that, there's going to be some variation there how that works. In a church, pastor really needs to run the church, right? And then there's teachers. There's other ones as well. But there's going to be a variation of how everybody receives that, and how everybody works within that role. Some are going to progress quicker than others based on their buying into the whole plan of God. And if you'll tap into and insert yourself in a right way into the structure, then you will quickly prosper in that structure. If you buck against or fight that structure, you'll stagnate and then decrease, or you'll be minimized in that structure. Does that make sense? But if you will tap into the structure, God's structure, you can't help but grow in that structure. That's how it works. And so if you fight that structure, you're going to be frustrated. Frustration is where you no longer go forward, but you're stuck. The frustrated purpose. And nobody likes to be frustrated. It gets. And what happens when you get frustrated, you start looking around to change things. But we're not supposed to be given to change. And meddle not with those that are given to change. And a lot of people, just from a pastor scenario, they tend to make big decisions when things aren't going right. And the scripture totally warns against that. Amen? We make decisions when we can clearly hear from God. We don't make big decisions when we can't. Does that make sense? But a lot of people, when their pressure's really on, now's the time to change things. It's not my fault, it's everybody else's, so I got to make all these changes. When in reality, no, I just need to tap into the structure. Right? Tap back into that structure. A person, member of the church, stops being faithful to church, you know, starts drinking. By the way, alcohol is a mocker, and so you can't just play with it. And you tend to, you're going to find something. You're going to find something to replace. You deal with what you're feeling inside. Maybe it's alcohol. Now they're trying to legalize weed and all that, so that might be the new one. I don't know. Entertainment. It might be vacations. It might be fashion. It might be whatever, friends. So you start replacing things with that, and that gives a little bit of dopamine release for a time, right? We like all that. We feel good about ourselves and all that, so we try. That's a nice business. Throw ourselves into a business. But we begin to pull away from God's structure in things, and we develop our own structure that we think is going to work. And seemingly, for a season, it does. But in the end, it's a train wreck. All right? And so the answer is not to then blame the structure that I pulled away from. The answer is to blame myself for making a structure that's not after God. And to repent and get back to that structure. Does that make sense? But that's typically not how people go, right? Because that's going to take repentance. So, again, just looking at the structure, that's why it's so important. And then we have a couple minutes left. If a man desire the office of a bishop there in C, by the way, that word man there is it's I-T-I-S. In the scripture, there's, when you see the word man, sometimes it's anthropos, meaning generally speaking mankind. That includes men and women. Other times it's this word, I-T-I-S, which is man. Specifically a male, biologically a male, and no, I'm not a biologist, but biologically a male, amen? And then, so the very office has to be a man. D, a bishop is to be the husband of one wife. Biblically speaking, you can't be a husband to a wife unless you're a man. Biblically speaking. And that's going to take a lot of explanation in the years to come. And then, E, a bishop is to rule his house. And then the husband is commanded to be the head of the home, not the wife, in Ephesians. Absolutely. Amen. And you can work all these through, so just kind of seeing the way the gender is given there. F, a pastor is to preach with all, the word's authority, all authority, meaning the authority that you've been given to work with, you need to work with, no matter what realm you're in. By the way, a woman needs to fulfill her role with all the authority she's been given. And by the way, probably the best explanation of a woman's authority is in reference to the home with the children. A woman's been given, the man lays down the law, the woman actually with authority enforces that with the children. And a woman has all power to lead and guide the home. She's a keeper. She keeps that. She guards that home. She's a teacher in that regard. She's a provider in the sense that if you look at the Proverbs 31 woman and how she cares for and tends to and all the needs of the home, it's an amazing thing. The woman is given much authority there. Amen. And by the way, in general society, it's the place the woman has rejected the most. Isn't that amazing? You look at society, the way that society goes always goes in the way that's against how God said it. It always works that way. And so women want to run the home. Why? Because God didn't give them that authority. Women don't want to be in that position of being a mother and training children. Why? Because that's the authority God gave. So it's always, you look at where society has gone and fights against, and that's the very area that God has set them to be and has empowered them to be the best in reference to men and reference to women. So anyway, very interesting. And so next week we'll start looking at the daughters of Philip. What's up with that? And how about Deborah? We'll look at that too. And what about deaconesses? Is that biblical? Is that right? We'll look at that. And there's some other things there as well. Practically speaking, here's the foundation. Actually, next week we have a missionary. The week after that, we'll look at this. And not before too long, Brother John's going to start in a Baptist history series. Amen? So if you have any questions practically how this works out, in 2 weeks, that's going to be the one we'll really deal with that and try to look at, practically speaking, what about these couple of cases in the Scripture where it seems like a woman did some things that were really meant for a man. Okay, let's look at that and see why and how that fits. Amen. So we'll do that here in a couple weeks. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for God giving us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Thank you for the roles. Thank you, God, for the authority structure. Thank you, God, that you gave us a structure that works. And you told us all about it in your word so that we would know it. And God, what a blessing it is to be in a church, a home, in general, where we're in a structure that functions as you, God, have laid out. We know that with that, fruit is produced, godly fruit, right fruit. And God, when we get out of order, how it doesn't work out well. And so God, help us to understand at least that today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.